Paramedic here from 2311 Racing. Game night's fun until someone spends 5 minutes lining up one shot. Chalk, breathe, re-chalk, still aiming. While they figure it out, I fire up Chumba Casino. I can spin anywhere, anytime, and there's always a new social casino game every week. Spins happen way faster than that shot. Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
True Crimers, welcome to Break the Case. I'm your host. I'm Jen Coffadaffer. Okay, I got to tell you, I'm thrilled about this session. I'm thrilled to have Brian on stage with me. I have to tell you something so funny, but I'm going to do it when he comes on. We're going to bring him right up because we are on pretty tight time schedule. And I have so many questions for Brian. Here we go. Brian, how are you?
Hey, Jennifer. Good. How are you? It's nice to see you.
I just love that big Inton smile. You don't always give it. You don't always give it.
So yeah, but you always make me smile. So
thank you. Well, I want to say, number one, congratulations on your podcast, all your successes. You just blew it out of the water. Not surprised. And congrats on that. Number two, I wanted to say thank you for carving time out of your huge schedule, your busy schedule, to meet with us and to meet with, you know, my audience and my folks today. They love you. And then number three, do you remember the last time we were on, and I'm not talking about News Nation, but live on a social media platform?
I'm trying to remember. You know, when I think of the first, I always just think of the first time I met you in person, which is, was it outside Brian Laundrie's house when you pulled up in your convertible and it was like, it was so sweaty. It was so hot out and I think it was raining and it was just, That's what I always think of when I think of you and the first time we met. I'm trying to remember the last time we were on a social media thing together. I don't remember.
Well, I'm going to tell you because I looked it up. We did a Spaces together. We had 1.1 million people on our Spaces.
Did you really? 1 million.
You'll have to look. And other subsequent Spaces too, exceeding 1 million. So, you know, we're not going to get 1 million here, obviously. But I just looked back at that. I remember it just watching it and it just going, and how wonderful that was that, you know, anyway, I had to look back and see when the last time.
Yeah, we used to do Twitter Spaces. I remember I used to do Spaces a lot. I guess that was before I kind of got into YouTube and it was so easy and it was just audio. It almost felt like you're on the phone with people. I should probably do it again. I haven't done one in a while.
Yeah, it was really pretty cool. And we just, you know, we just riff. We just talk. So it's pretty cool. But I'm going to get after it. We have a very little time and so much to discuss. Okay. Nancy Guthrie, that's who we're going to be concentrated on. Anytime I'm wearing yellow, that means I'm talking about Guthrie. I'm color-coded. The number one question I have for you is about... several days ago, I broke the CertiK news regarding them talking about Nancy Guthrie listing them officially as a Rich attack by proxy, something that I've been talking about since March. And just the idea, the premise that we got to investigate this. This is my question for you. A, what are your thoughts on this, that Nancy's could be a Rich attack? You know, kind of what's your percentage and what are your sources saying?
So, I mean, I think all options are on the table based on everything I'm hearing. And the last time I talked to my sources close to the investigation, unfortunately, it sounded like all options are still on the table. Like, I don't know that they're really zeroing in on anything at this point still. I think they're still going through a lot of tips that have come in over time. And, you know, there's like a pile of tips basically still being investigated. So the Wrench attacks are interesting. And I looked into it a bit. So when you talk about a Wrench attack, are you talking specifically about crypto or is it just financial in general? Like someone going into Nancy's, and basically like the intent was to hold her hostage to get into her bank accounts, or which part of it are you referring to?
Oh, such a great question. To narrow this down, is a Drinch attack by proxy is actually where they take somebody, a relative, not to beat them up per se, but to hold them hostage to get the cryptocurrency from the relative.
Okay. Yeah, I mean, I think it's possible. I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know that Savannah Guthrie obviously has a lot of money just because of her job and her salary and her husband's job. But I don't know. I don't know if they had crypto. I'm not sure. But I think it could. I think it could be a possibility. I mean, I think the fact, and even Savannah has mentioned this in her interviews, that unfortunately, you know, she could be behind the motive here. I mean, in terms of the person who took Nancy may have been trying to get to Savannah for her money. So I think it's certainly a possibility. I haven't heard from my sources that that it's specifically something that they're zeroing in on. But I did see it when Fox Digital spoke to Nanos about it. I think he said something like he was going to tell his team or something. So it seems like it's on their radar.
Yeah, you know, it just has to be. But I got to tell you, I was just looking at CertiK because I know how closely they work with the Bureau on other cases and how many cases that they work in conjunction with them. So I was kind of monitoring what's happening. And when I saw that, I got to tell you, it was a jaw-dropping moment for me because I know what they have access to in terms of the different accounts and the chains that they can see and they can address with different wallets, and they can look and say, man, this just is out of sorts on those Bitcoin chains. So
yeah,
anybody
and if the ransom notes are real, you know, the fact that the money was put into a Bitcoin account is interesting, like would kind of line up with the whole Bitcoin, I guess, storyline. But I truthfully don't know. I don't know. I would say I think all options are still on the table.
Let me pivot from there with something you just talked about. If the ransom notes are real, the first two we're talking about, right? Really, yeah. There's six, right? Two to a radio station and then to TMZ, but two of them times three is six. That's what I mean when I say six. So we talk about that. What are your thoughts on whether they're real or not based on the FBI's actions, the family's actions, and then, of course, Savannah's words?
So I've gone back and forth on it. I tend to think that they are real, and I think we have to kind of assume they're real, especially since Savannah said that. I mean, I think she obviously has inside information and is in such close contact with the FBI that I don't think she would have said that if she didn't feel that they were real. But I don't think that means that they're all real. Like, I think the ones that went to the local TV station could be different from some of the others that went to TMZ. And it just felt like the TMZ ones just kept coming, which didn't really make a lot of sense to me. At the same time, it was strange that there was no proof of life. And that it was strange to me that they went to the local TV station and not directly to Savannah in some way, like through Instagram or through social media. Although I guess it could have been tracked more easily. So I don't know. My gut says that they may be real, and I wish I had better insider info. I think it could go either way, but my gut says that at least some of them are real. What do you think, Jennifer?
I agree with you. And I agree with you based on what the family's reaction was and law enforcement's reaction and their dissemination to us that there were clues in there that made them believe that they were real. And the Bureau is not going to stage these elaborate family talks to the person via the media if they don't believe. They're just not going to put the family through that. So I agree with you.
Yeah. And also people are questioning, well, if they're real, how could the FBI not track them down? But it is interesting with the TV stations in particular, you know, they were submitted through like a form on the website. I don't know if you remember that. Like if you go to like News Nation or really any TV station, there's sometimes a news tip form where you fill out a form on the website and you submit it that way. And then it goes to pretty much everyone on the news team, which I know was the case at least one of the Tucson stations. It went to all the reporters. So that would make it more difficult to track, because it's not like you're just sending an email directly from your account. It was submitted through a website form, which I think would make it more difficult to track that person.
Yeah, I agree. More difficult, but still, it crossed a wire and it came from someplace else. But with Proton accounts, with VPNs, and with using public Wi-Fi, anybody, quite frankly, if they know that recipe, can send anything to anyone, and it's virtually impossible to track. But to me, that's another thing that, at least for our conversation, points to it being a possible wrench, right? This, like, the sophistication of even knowing to do it that way. I also think the days of going to, you know, leaving a note at the site or contacting somebody, like what Kalela did, got caught like that. I think those days are over. I think they're going to have to use more sophisticated means, or they're going to get caught. What are your thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, I go back to the video of the person on the Ring camera who didn't look especially sophisticated. But at the same time, we all keep saying that, and the person still hasn't been caught. So, you know, they must have been somewhat sophisticated. And also, that may not be the ringleader. I mean, that may not be the person who actually was sophisticated behind the scenes. They may have been using that person to sort of do the dirty work and be in the front of the house and be the person that they knew would appear on camera. I think there is some level of sophistication, or we wouldn't be now 4 months out with all the resources of the FBI and just the pressure. And you would understand this better than me, because you were in the FBI. But, you know, when you have the president of the United States, when you have the director of the FBI so personally invested in this case and interested in it and wanting a resolution, you would imagine they're using resources that we don't even know exist. Like, kind of like how they got the camera video when there was no subscription. I mean, there are things I'm sure they can do that we don't even know about, that would probably even make us uncomfortable in terms of just surveillance and the things that they can do behind the scenes that they're probably doing, and they still haven't identified a suspect that we know of or made an arrest. So to me, that makes me think that there is a level of sophistication there, unless it's just someone who got so lucky, which is also possible. I mean, I feel like a small percentage chance, but it happens. I mean, maybe someone just, all the cards fell into place for them, and they just got really, really lucky. I think it could go either way.
You know, I was very much on board with that, thinking that this possibly could be that, until those ransom notes. The ransom notes for me was when I really had to switch the thought process, thinking there's just a level of sophistication above Porch Guy. In other words, my needle tipped, I guess, rather than just for me, because I think that had to have been thought out. They came in the next day to the locals, and then 12 hours later to TMZ. They thought that out. At least I don't think they said, okay, we got Nancy here. Now what are we going to do? Where are we going to take her to? I think they had a plan. I think it went belly up. What do you think? And I'll call your attention, and I know you've interviewed so many people, but I'll call your attention, of course. This is my favorite picture, because this is what convinced me it was expirated blood, because this isn't the one with all that splash over there that could have actually been from the little, but see all that little splashing? So what do you think? She left there alive?
Hey, it's Ryan Seacrest here, and if you're looking for some serious fun, head over to ChumbaCasino.com. At Chumba Casino, you can play all your favorite social casino-style games for free anytime, anywhere. It's the most fun you can have on your phone or computer.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21+.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick's Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
I mean, I wish I knew. Based on everyone that I've talked to, my gut feeling is she left there alive. And that it maybe was some kind of nosebleed or, you know, I mean, you've seen the pictures of her, and we all have, you know, grandparents and older people in our families where they're on certain medicines, and you could see the bruising on her arms. And I'm sure, like, I have people in my family, if you just bump them the wrong way, they will bleed a lot, you know? So again, and I think part of my problem too is, like, just looking at Nancy, I just feel for her so much. And I feel like I know her at this point, even though I don't. Like, just what a wonderful woman. I hate to even think about, it's hard for me to envision someone punching her, hurting her, cause, I don't know, maybe just my mind doesn't like to go there, but my gut feeling is maybe she was bumped or hit something on the way out and the blood came that way, and that the person maybe didn't intend to hurt her, but instead to hold her captive to get the money. To, you know, you would want to, I mean, that would be your prize, right? That would be something you would want to keep safe if you were going to use that person to get money. And again, I have no evidence to support this, just what my gut feeling is, that something went wrong. And I know I'm not the first to say this. This is what a lot of people think, but that something went wrong and Nancy didn't make it.
You know, Brian, so when I look at this picture, I see sort of this expirated blood, and I just have to say, it's a testament to really who you are. And I think most people are such great people. You do not want to think, especially when you humanize it, which you always do with these cases, it's so hard to think of somebody internally hurting her, which would cause internal bleeding, which would cause her to cough and put out those little particles. It's just hard to think about.
I mean, do you think it was someone who hurt Nancy and that is where the blood came from? Or do you think it's more of like he was injured on the way out? Maybe, you know, they didn't handle her obviously the right way and she was injured.
Yeah, I think whoever did this, Brian, couldn't care one flake about her except for what you said, as a commodity. Mm-hmm. And I think they probably handled her way too roughly, not understanding an 84-year-old woman with her issues. And, you know, just picking her up and grabbing her could have broken a rib.
Yeah, and she may have refused to go, too. I mean, you know, she was a strong, you know, mentally strong woman from everything I've heard. I mean, she brought up the kids by herself for the most part after her husband died. So, you know, she may have put up a fight in some way, or just said, you know, maybe she didn't cooperate and said, I'm not leaving, you know?
Yeah, I agree with you on all of this. I just do think there was an element of physical harm that was done to her that caused her to expirate. And because I believe she expirated, I really do believe she was alive when she left that house. But I think they threw her in the trunk, Brian. I know you don't want to think about it. I don't want to think about it. Really, you don't drive around with somebody in this situation, typically. I want to ask you about this. This is Porch Guy, of course, with this bite light. What did you make of this ivy foliage?
I mean, it's one of the stranger things. And when we go back to sophistication, the idea that the plan would have been to try to pick up the foliage to either block the camera or pull the camera off, and the camera's gone, so they took the camera with them. It's missing now. I don't know. I mean, or is it some kind of distraction tactic? Like, they knew that people were going to see that. My mind has gone all over the place with it. And also, you know, he's wearing the gloves, so you wouldn't want to, you wouldn't need to pick that up to block your fingerprints. I mean, maybe the thought initially was that he was going to be able to block the camera and like jam the foliage in, and then realize that wasn't going to work. I'm not sure, Jennifer. I'm really not.
So I wasn't sure either. My mind ran just like yours with, is this some sort of message? Were they inside and he's blocking it? He's like, over here, because somehow they were viewing a monitor. But this is where I ended up with it. And I was curious what you thought. This was the picture that really got me. I had closed up on this just because of the card. But if you see here, that foliage is stuck in there. I mean, it was forceful. It wasn't that he was waving it, in my view. I think he forcefully grabbed it because those gloves were so darn big for his hands that he couldn't grip it. And that, see how you, I know you've seen these, how big these gloves are.
Yeah.
And I just feel like the force that was used to extricate that foliage and lodge it in the side makes me think he used it to grip and pull. That's all I could come up with.
Yeah. And maybe in the moment he was thinking, even though I have the gloves on, like, I'm not taking any chances. Like, I'm going to pick this up with something else too, you know, just mentally, like, I'm going to cover myself in two ways, even though it didn't really seem to make much of a difference. I think that's a possibility.
Yeah, I think that's a good idea too. That's definitely a possibility. I wanted to talk to you about this staging idea. I see it going around. I've even done a show on it. I'm not even sure quite what to make out of the staging idea. What do you make out of just even the conceptually what people mean by staging this?
And what do you mean? Like, yeah, give me a little more. What do you?
So, you know, what we're hearing and some people are saying is that it was staged. In other words, Porch Guy, he's just in a costume pretending to go up and take her. He never really took her. This was just all kind of play acted out. And that, in fact, something happened to Nancy separate from what Porch Guy did. You know, that possibly she didn't make it back to the house, et cetera, et cetera. All these ideas that this wasn't a kidnapping. It was staged to look like a kidnapping. I don't know if you've seen all this.
Yeah, like a kidnapping masquerading for something else.
Right.
Look, again, I think all possibilities are on the table. I think when you look at the statistics, and like Dr. Brocato has talked a lot about this, the statistics don't match up with this being a kidnapping necessarily. I mean, old people being kidnapped is very rare. There being no proof of life is very rare. You know, part of it, that just, if you look at just history, I mean, this is a unique case. Was the whole thing staged? I don't know. I don't think so. I mean, I do think there's more than just Porch Guy involved. I think there was probably a getaway driver. I think there may have been someone at the back of the house while he was at the front of the house. So I don't think it's just him. But my gut says that it wasn't all staged. I mean, I don't know. What do you think?
I totally agree with you. I don't see this as being staged at all. I walked through why it really couldn't be staged. In other words, if a person takes on the concept it's staged, in my view, that means you take on the concept that the family is involved. Because who else could have staged this? Who else had access to Nancy before this occurred? And for me personally, I have that off the table. That brings me to my question, whether you have it on or off the table. I have it off the table, which puts staging off the table. But the main reason I cannot believe it was staged is because her pacemaker connects. All her things are there and her pacemaker disconnects. So that doesn't lead itself for me to believe that this was some sort of staging to cover up what happened prior. Plus the blood. Are you going to go with a syringe and squirt it out? And then when we're talking about statistics, I can't find, and I've looked, one statistic for a staged kidnapping to cover a murder of an 84-year-old. I can't find one.
Yeah,
so
I just think you ask about the family. I mean, first, I mean, you know, the sheriff has obviously said that they're, you know, not involved. And I just think by now, 4 months in, if it was that simple, and again, you're the retired FBI agent. You're the one who knows more about this stuff than me. But I think they would have figured that out by now. I think they would have, people leave clues and signs and, you know, with cameras these days and digital evidence. And I just think if it was that simple, that it was someone that close to her, it would have been sorted out by now. I never thought it was the family. I was out there. I saw Savannah with her arms around her family members. I don't think that she would be doing that if she suspected that it was someone from within her family. And I just think that's been a distraction. That's just how I feel about that.
You and I, again, we're in the same boat on that. With everything we know,
just think if it was that simple, if it was a close friend, if it was someone really close to her, don't you think the FBI by now would either have made an arrest or at least be getting closer? Whereas what I'm hearing is they're not. I mean, everything I'm hearing, and granted, there could be some really secret information that even the people that I'm in touch with don't know. But what I'm hearing is that that they still don't really have a working theory or a suspect. And I just think if it was that simple, they would have by now.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever? Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at chumbacasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.
Want instant MVP status? Join the new Dick Scorecard Plus program. For $99, Scorecard Plus members enjoy 1 year packed with perks, like $80 in annual bonus rewards, free shipping with no minimum purchase, triple points on 2 purchases, and more. That's over $160 in benefits. Join Dick Scorecard Plus today and score more than ever. Tap the banner to learn more. Exclusions and terms apply. Visit dicks.com/scorecardplus for details.
Well, I agree with you because of they have Nancy's phone. They would have Annie's phone, Tomasa's phone. They went right in there with ICAC to download that information post haste, like it was a child abduction case. They also had the information from the garage. They had the information from Tomasa's car. They have the Uber information. They have so much information. It's really, quite frankly, a no-brainer. And we saw it in Idaho when they would say somebody was no longer involved. Remember those lists that came out?
Yeah. Yes.
Cleared lists.
Yeah, I forgot about those until just now. Yes. Yeah. They were clearing people. And it was kind of for the same reason, because people were going after the frat brothers and they felt like they had to put those names out just to kind of like give those people a little bit of a relief from all the hate online.
Right. And that's the same reason here, right? Can you imagine the hate they've gotten? I mean, I see it. I can just say I don't think the family's involved, and I get inundated with hate. You don't think the family, you know? It's insane. I want to ask you about Mexico. Very early on, you even went to Mexico. The Mexican authorities said from the beginning, and they're still saying it, we haven't been contacted by anyone. And so do you think that there is a Mexico link that she could have been there? We talked about the graves. We know they're not even searching there anymore because they're not being supported by the federales. What do you think? Mexican connection, cartelish? Nah. Which one?
I don't think cartel. I mean, just because all the people I met down there in law enforcement, I mean, they kind of know the cartel pretty well now, like sort of the signs of what they would do. And no one seems to think this looks anything like the cartel. But I do think we have to keep open the Mexico possibility. I just think it's so close, you know. It's such an easy drive, and you can drive in or you can walk in without being noticed. And you can, I did an episode last week, you can go through, there's a big Indian reservation right there that borders Mexico, where there are ways to drive in through the reservation where you can go unnoticed or you can pay people off. So I think, I don't think we can just say, I've never understood from the almost the beginning, they were saying, oh, we don't think Mexico is involved. And I just don't know how you can say that. I think it is a possibility. Do I think this volunteer group is onto anything? Probably not, no. But I do think Mexico in general, the person taking her to Mexico or the person hiding out in Mexico is possible.
I totally agree with you, Brian. It's just a matter of proximities.
Yeah.
And it's a matter of absolutely making a body disappear or a person. And look at what's...
I also wouldn't be surprised, though, Jennifer, if when they solve this, the person is in Tucson. And I've just thought from the beginning, if you were going to go after a rich person's mom, like, why Savannah Guthrie? I mean, there's way richer people. There's probably people easier to get to. There's people that you wouldn't get as much attention because the family member isn't famous. My gut has said from the beginning that it's someone local who knew that Nancy was the mom. You know what I mean? Because if you were just like looking for in the whole country for the perfect person, like, why would you choose Nancy Guthrie?
I totally agree with that. And I agree with that too, because look at the investigative time and effort that's been put out. It's always right around there, whether it's the signal sniffer or the, you know, where they did those two enforcement actions, you know, with Daly and the one before. It's they're staying right in a concentrated area. And the fact, why did they contact the two local outlets first?
Yeah, that's right? True.
Those are kind of big indications. So,
and it's also such a, when you're in that neighborhood too, it's just so random and it's hard to get around and it's confusing. And I don't know. It just, my gut from the beginning has been that it's someone who knew the area.
Yeah. I couldn't agree with you more. What about on the 11th? And you talked a lot about this, the 11th, it was followed up on by Nanos and then even Savannah Guthrie put out a statement of the importance of the 11th. I wanted to talk to you about that. Do you still think there was a possible site survey, as I call them, that happened prior to the actual op?
Yes. Yeah. I think that based on what I've reported, that Porch Guy or someone like that was there on the 11th and that they have video from that date. And, I think this was planned and that the person was out there scoping it out, maybe was even going to do it that night. And something happened that, oh, tonight's not the right night. Someone drove by, whatever. And so they put it off.
Yeah, it just seems that way. What do you think about the fact that the memorial has been taken down and even when people put flowers, they take it down again? What's your position on, like, the family? Do you think they want it down? They've got all those signs posted.
I think it's sad. I mean, the memorial was really nice. I think that whole situation is sad. But I think you have to respect the family. I mean, I think that's where she's lived since the 70s. They love the neighborhood. She knows a lot of the neighbors. I don't think they want to necessarily at this point see the neighborhood become sort of, it almost reminds me of the Idaho house. Like, I think they want peace to be restored in the neighborhood. And I don't think they don't want people to remember Nancy, but I just think that that neighborhood and that house and that street holds a special place in their heart. You know what I mean? And I think they probably sympathize with the neighbors who kind of want things to sort of chill out a little bit.
Yeah, I kind of saw it like you, like almost analogous to the case. When all those flowers went down and weren't there anymore, it just seemed like, I didn't like it. But I totally respect restoring order, especially when you see this, the streamers. Do you think they're out of hand? Do you think they're First Amendment rights? What do you, are you on the bubble with it? What do you think?
I think multiple things can be true at once. You know, like, I don't think it's one way or the other. I mean, I think that I understand why some of the neighbors, like I said, want things to just kind of chill out. I mean, if it was my neighborhood, you know, at some point you just, yeah, you walk your dog every day, you have kids, you just kind of, you know, want normalcy to return. At the same time, you know, the Constitution is the Constitution. I mean, does that mean next time I go out there for News Nation and we want to do a live shot when there is a development that we could get a citation or be arrested? I don't know. I mean, I've never seen that happen before where people are on public right of way and get arrested. I mean, that just truthfully, that doesn't sit well with me as a journalist. I don't know all the details. I mean, I've been so focused on Nancy, I don't really know all of the complaints of the neighbors and what the sheriff's office knows. And there could be a lot I don't know, but just sort of on the surface of it, regardless of how you feel about the screamers, it just doesn't sit well with me, people getting arrested on public property. I mean, because my whole career I've been on public property. I mean, as in local news, you do live shots on the sidewalk. You kind of know the rules, and that's so that, like I said, I don't know all the details, but on the surface, it doesn't sit well with me.
You know, I'm so glad I actually asked this question, because I think you're misunderstood when it comes to that. And again, totally jive with you on this. I'm really, you know, weighing both sides. I'm such a First Amendment advocate like you. And then to just somehow say we're going to cite people when they're literally, but then yet I do understand, you know what I mean? You don't want to be a nuisance. You can't.
It's kind of the same thing with like some of the victims' families with cases that I've covered don't want certain things released. I mean, and I totally get photos. I mean, autopsy photos and all of that should never be released publicly, but you know, certain documents, certain details. And I've been honest with them. I mean, for me, that's a slippery slope too. At the end of the day, I'm a journalist. So like, I'm always going to fight for cameras in the courtroom. The idea of less information being made public just has never really sat well with me. So it's kind of the same feeling, if that makes any sense.
Yeah, it really does. So today, and I'll just ask this last question because I know we're coming up on our time and I want to be very respectful of that. My last question to you is, it'll be a little bit compound. Do you believe that Nancy Guthrie was kidnapped for ransom? And then secondarily, do you believe it is with somebody closely associated with her, or possibly somebody that is just targeted her and more sophisticated? Or neither?
I based on what we know right now, I think, you know, one working theory is that she was kidnapped for ransom. I mean, I think, I don't know that for sure, but I think that's a theory that I'm kind of working off of in my coverage, you know, one of the theories. Do I think it's someone she knew closely? Probably not, for the reason that we talked about. I think by now they would have figured it out. But do I think it's someone who knew of her? Yes, probably. I just, again, going back to what I said before, why Nancy Guthrie? Why Savannah Guthrie's mom? If you're really going after money, of all the rich people in the country, why her? So I think there probably is some connection there. Again, maybe just proximity, maybe just somebody in town who saw the Today Show segment, knew that she lived there, knew, oh, she lives out there where there's no cameras and it's dark, and you know?
Yeah. No, I agree. She was very vulnerable. No cameras, no security. In other words, you know, nothing's good. Alarm isn't going to go off. She had no ADT alarm or something like that.
Yeah.
So thank you for giving me this time, giving us, not me, us, the audience and everybody. So often you're the one interviewing rather than being interviewed. It's nice that you have your show now where you can talk a little bit more. You know, when we're on News Nation, we get 2 minutes.
Yeah, it's true. Yeah. Well, thank you for having me on. Yeah, I'm not always good at being the one answering the questions, and I wish I had more info, but unfortunately, you know, in many ways we don't have a ton of information on this one.
Thank you, Brian. Can't wait to see you on News Nation.
Bye,
my friend. guys. That was such a great conversation with Brian. I don't know if you've ever just met people in your life where you just click. He teases about that time that I pulled up for Brian Laundrie's house and we covered Brian Laundrie forever. He covered it even longer than me, but I was out there a lot with him and we just really clicked. And it's always so natural when I talk to him, and I seriously looked at when's the last time we were on air live and there were 1.1 million people listening to us. We don't have that today. There's no 1.1 million number up on my screen, but there's a great number. And I really appreciate y'all coming in. It's fun to interview Brian because he never gets interviewed. And I guess I do interview people, but I don't normally interview reporters. So it's always great to talk to him. And, he's a friend and he has really done a great job covering Nancy Guthrie, him from a reporting standpoint. And then I'm going to continue keeping Nancy Guthrie at the forefront as an analyst, as an analyst and former FBI. And I've got so many questions, especially after talking to him and him basically saying that there does seem to be no new answers, that it seems to be quite a dead end at this point. And that is really a big disappointment. I don't know. I think I was hoping he'd say, hey, listen, my source said they really have somebody that they're looking at, but that's not the read that anybody is giving. And that is disappointed. That's disappointing, I should say. Everyone, you've been great. Thank you so much. It's 2 o'clock in the afternoon on a Friday. Thank you for giving us this time and for coming in to listen to Brian and I and our thoughts and views on this case. Again, y'all have been great. And until next time, may justice be served for the Guthrie family.
Hey, it's Bubba Wallace from 2311 Racing. You know what it feels like forever?
Coming crew.
Sitting on a plane waiting for takeoff. Good thing I've got Chumba Casino. With daily boosts and social casino games on tap, this is the kind of fun that makes time fly. Why not turbocharge your downtime? Play now at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
Sponsored by Chumba Casino. No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. 21 plus. Terms and conditions apply.